So I am the dean of the Pembroke campus, which means that I oversee all of the operations here on the campus, the academics and the student support and the facilities and all of those pieces. I'm essentially the campus leader. My background is that I was trained as a lawyer and worked as a lawyer for a while and then moved into post-secondary administration and have been doing that for 20 years now. On several different types of campuses. And I have to say, one of my favorite things is to be on a small campus where people know each other and people stay connected. And as I always tell the families of prospective students, I always say, if you want your student to be a number and fall through the cracks, don't send them to us because they'd have to work really hard to fall through our cracks.
And I know Algonquin College has an amazing reputation, not only here in the community, but all across Ontario and Canada in terms of the students that you guys produce. So how did you arrive here in Pembroke in the Ottawa Valley?
Well, I was looking for an opportunity to do a little bit more in my career, and so I was ready to move up into a more responsible position. I was an assistant dean at my last campus, and the Pembroke campus really appealed to me because it was a small campus, a really tight-knit community, obviously very staffed by very passionate people. So everybody that I met was very excited about helping people learn and really had a very positive approach to things. And I like the fact that while it's a small campus, it's part of a big institution. So we have access to all kinds of resources and technology that we wouldn't be able to have as a standalone small space. So I like that best of both worlds piece. Plus the community is just absolutely beautiful and the location of the campus. I'm on the rare day in my office now during this pandemic time, and I can look out and see the trees and the water, and it's a lovely place to be surrounded by.
So where did you grow up and originally go to school?
So I grew up in Nova Scotia, and then when I turned 18, I went away to university in California. I went to Stanford, and I ended up living in California for about 20 years. Doing my law studies and then working in the legal field and then working for a large university and a large college there. And then in 2009, I had the opportunity to come home. I took a job with Nova Scotia Agricultural College, which eventually merged with Dalhousie University. So I was working at a small campus in a community very much like Pembroke. So in Truro, Nova Scotia, which is, a big town for the area, but about an hour and a half outside of Halifax, and a really great community to be in that supported the institution, and a really nice connected small campus as well, very much like Pembroke.
And throughout your career, or even throughout your life, what are some of the accomplishments that you might be most proud of?
I think the ones that I'm most proud of are where I was able to get multiple groups or multiple areas to work together to help address a specific problem. In one of the campuses that I was on in California, I worked together with academic areas and my area of counseling and student services to develop a specialized space for underrepresented students where they could get some additional support. So I enjoyed that process. In Truro, I did quite a bit in the community as well. So I was a leader in on the not-for-profit sector and also on town committees. And one of the things that I was very proud of was leading the rebranding initiative for the community, where I was encountering a lot of different groups that were talking about the fact that Truro needed to change its story and change its image. And I was seeing that sense all around. And so I worked with a couple of different people and went to the town council and asked them to give us the mandate to lead a rebranding initiative, which they did. So we were able to work with community stakeholders and staff from the town to create a really vibrant brand and to also help really change the story we were telling about our community. And to portray the energy that was happening in the community. So that's another one. As I said, the ones that I'm most proud of are ones where I've brought together multiple stakeholders to try and address a main issue.
That definitely sounds like quite the undertaking you were involved in. So yeah. I know you started with Algonquin College, was it back in 2019? How has the process been? You had, I guess, kind of a year, and then the pandemic hit.
I had 6 months, not even a year. So yes, it has been an interesting 2 years. The majority of my time has been spent working remotely, and leading a team remotely, and that has been a significant challenge. But I think we were in a good place to start with because we were a very strong, connected team. And so people here are very committed to supporting our learners. And, after the first shock kind of wore off a bit, everybody picked themselves up and said, "All right, what do we do? What do we change? How do we make it so that our learners still feel supported and are still getting an excellent education?" So I'm extremely proud of the work that the team has done here to continue our programming and to make sure that our students are learning, and whether it be remotely or face to face. And we do have quite a few face to face activities because they are applied activities that can't be done remotely. And we've done some really great work to ensure that we're being as safe as we can be in those activities.
And I guess, are you guys starting to plan now for a return to class mostly in the fall?
Absolutely. So we're not planning to return to class mostly in the fall because it takes quite a bit of time to make that shift again, and especially for students who were registering for programs, and if they were told that it was a fully remote program, it wouldn't be appropriate to suddenly say in August, "Oh, hey, you need to come to Pembroke and you need to find housing and you need to change your life." So we're really looking very carefully at how we modify things to make sure that we are respecting that, but also providing opportunities where we can for our learners and our professors to be able to come back to campus. We do have, as I said, about 60% of our students have something happening face to face. So we are looking at, are there ways that we can expand and adapt what we're doing with those programs in terms of the changes and restrictions? And just, we're also starting to explore how can we deliver things in multiple modes? So not only face-to-face or only remote. Is there a way that we could be delivering some content in a classroom with some of the people face-to-face, but some people being able to choose to come in remotely and to be still engaged in that class? That's the upside of this pandemic, is that it really pushed people to adapt to new technology and new ways of doing things that we would have taken many, many years to get to the same place. And we've had a chance to really test things out and to see what we really like about the remote environment and what are some things that we really prefer about the face-to-face environment, so that we're making deliberate choices about how we're delivering our content.
It is nice to see some of the hybrid models that have been formed through, I guess, the various different organizations such as schools and businesses, just to kind of make it through the pandemic. So hats off to you and all of your staff for the creative ideas you guys have had to come up with to keep the wheels rolling at Algonquin College.
In fact, it's been a year now since we had the forestry students back on campus last summer to test drive some of our protocols for keeping students safe, and then those protocols were then rolled out to the rest of our face-to-face programming that we've been delivering throughout the year. And we haven't been steady state either. You would think that during the pandemic, all we could manage was keeping things going in the pandemic. But on top of that, we've added new programs. So we've started an environmental management and assessment program, graduate certificate. We have a computer programmer diploma coming along. We have a geographic information systems, GIS program starting in the winter. So we've really been doing a lot with our academic programming, and then we've also been working on a Skills Advance Ontario project that is $5 million. So it's not a small project, and we're providing extensive training and upskilling and new employee recruitment and training for the forestry industry throughout this region.
That's great news for the local industry and I guess local workers in the area as well. My last question for you would be, what advice would you maybe have to others who may be listening to this interview?
I would say is to expand your idea of where you can be a leader. And so there are times where people are interested in doing more in their work, but don't necessarily have the opportunity right in their workplace. I have found that my volunteer work, my work that I've done with various boards and various organizations and you know, city and town committees has really expanded my skill set and made it so that I'm able to move into the next level of leadership role. And so I think people, if you're interested in being a leader and growing and developing your leadership skills, look beyond your workplace and think about ways that you can get engaged in other things that will help you build those skills.